This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah to all the sisters and brothers, let us begin with the dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya. وبك نموت وإليك النشور بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين To all the sisters and brothers, we have been asking Allah Rabbul Alameen for His mercy, for His forgiveness, for His blessing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our dua. Ameen. And we always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us knowledge that do really benefit us. The knowledge that will make us understand His deen better in the way Allah and the Prophet want us to understand. Not the way that we want to understand. Sometimes knowledge can be very misleading. The little that we know will make us self-confident and we start to make our own conclusion. And that is also very dangerous. So we hope that the knowledge that we have been learning is a knowledge that please Allah Rabbul Alameen that bring benefit to all of us. After seeking knowledge, the second level, I quote last night in my tazkirah, after having knowledge, it's very important to have the right understanding. There's a lot of people who have been learning, but their understanding differs from one to another. There is a problem. You are learning, but how can you end with so much differences between one another? Those who have been learning about Sunnah and then they get involved in Bida'ah and they say Bida'ah is okay when the Prophet said Bida'ah is the opposite of Sunnah. When there's a Sunnah, there's no Bida'ah. When there's a Bida'ah, a Sunnah is being destroyed. Yeah. Every Bida'ah destroys one a Sunnah. It's just that when you learn about Aqidah, Tawheed, then there is no more Shirk. How can you have Tawheed in the same time you have Shirk? You can't. If you learn anything about Iman, there's no more Kufr. You cannot join both together because it is just the opposite. You know, what is haq is haq, what is batil is batil. But today people get very confused. The more they learn, the more they love bid'ah, and they go against people who are promoting sunnah. This is what happens when people have the wrong understanding. When you have the right understanding, you go to the third level of knowledge. This is adapt towards knowledge, to make sure that knowledge benefits us. The third one is to implement the knowledge. What can the knowledge benefit us if we have been learning the sunnah? When something happened to us, we don't follow the sunnah. We are giving in to the tradition, to the norm, and we have ignored the sunnah of the Prophet. We are not acting according to the sunnah, to the knowledge that we have acquired. This also will fail us again. It's not that we do not know, we have the knowledge, but we do not follow what we have learned. After the third level, we go to the fourth level. Then, once we have acted upon the true knowledge that we have acquired, we must share the knowledge. And that's where a lot of sisters have to talk to their close one, their family, your children. As mother, you talk to your children, so that the children also now is exposed to the true knowledge. You cannot keep the knowledge to yourself. Doing that, you are doing khitman. Khitman means you have betrayed Allah Rabbul Alamin. Knowledge is an amanah. You cannot keep it to yourself. You must share it. Whether the other party accept it or not, that is up to them. Like all the Prophet, their duty is to convey. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاءِ. Our duty is just to share the knowledge, inform others. Now, Allah give hidayah. Whether that person changed or not, that is not your responsibility. We have a sister, I just quote yesterday, a Chinese from China, mainland, from a very isolated village, not in the big city. And there is no Muslim in that area. 100% are Chinese. Obviously, China is Chinese. 100% not yet Muslim. So now she is here for a short course to take up educational, about education. Allah Qadar, she exposed to Islam. So when she came and talked to us, we said, why not you had joined us for a prayer? So we encouraged her to come for Taraweeh. Last two nights she came. And then she's still having her menses, actually. The sister said, she's saying that she's having her menses. No problem. She's not a Muslim at all. She's not yet a Muslim. If she wants to learn the movement of the prayer, just wear telekung and then join the sister. Just for some experience. And then she followed, alhamdulillah. Then she still have more questions to ask me. So we stay on until midnight. Then they order, they call a grab car, send her back. Alhamdulillah, she was asking me a very good question. She said, now if I'm going to be a Muslim, and I'm going home after 2 months, now my parents, my mother have warned me, don't make any crazy thing when you are in the country. Just come home in one piece as who you are before you left China. Of course, you must go back as a Chinese. You are not going to be an Arab or Malay. You are going home. But I said, it is common, even Prophet was sent to the people where all of them are not yet Muslim. So a Prophet was sent to them to make changes. But with the patience of all the Prophet, and they are very firm, the faith they have in Allah, they make changes. More and more people become believers. This can happen to you, and say, if you are strong. Now, you can bring changes to your village. And can you imagine the reward Allah is going to give you? You 1% make changes. You bring something new home. Something that is very, very important for their future. She was a bit motivated for that. But she said, I think it's very difficult. Because China's Chinese policy is one family, one child. So she's the only baby, the only girl in the family. I said, you don't worry. You can save a lot of life. But use your wisdom. Yeah. So she said, I have more questions to ask you for future. I hope that you don't mind me coming back to ask you. I said, no problem. You must ask me as many questions you can before you leave home. At least you are prepared mentally, spiritually, and physically prepared. very active sister, very young girl. So that's why knowledge, after you learn, you must share. Allah said, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثِ. Knowledge is a ni'mah. The ni'mah must be shared to other people. Then only when we die, in case some of our friend, family members is practicing the knowledge that we have taught them, we will get the reward, an ongoing reward. Elmun yuntafa'u bihi, the Prophet said, knowledge that you depart to others and they are practicing it and you pass away, you will get the reward from Allah Rabbul Alam. That is what knowledge can be beneficial. The last stage after seeking knowledge, understand, act upon it, share with others. The last one is, you must have patience. You must have a lot of sabr. Handling human is a very complicated thing. Because human character is very unique. They keep on changing according to the mood. According to the weather. So we need a lot of patience. At the end of the day, we know that we do not control the heart of anybody. It is Allah who controls the hearts. We just try our level best and be consistent in what we are doing. Don't give up in doing all the good things. Inshallah, I hope all of us understand the five stages in seeking knowledge. This is the adab. Then all these kind of things can be easily done, inshallah. Based on one hadith. The hadith of innamal a'malu binniyat, your intention. If your intention is to follow the five levels, then there's no problem. But if you have your own other intention, then of course there will be a lot of conflict within yourself. Because the intention of seeking knowledge is not really for Allah, it's for other reasons. And this is what the Prophet did mention as the sign of the hour. The sign of the hour, Al-Akhirah, is that people are seeking knowledge not for the sake of Allah anymore. They are seeking knowledge for commercial thing, or to show people that they are smarter than others, so that they become very judgmental. Even the people who are teaching are not sincere anymore. They are teaching because of money. So they'll get. If you want that, I'll give it to you. Because you want the dunya, I give the dunya. There's nothing for akhirah. If you want both, then you must balance properly. You must learn about the adab. We have been asking Allah for that, alhamdulillah. And also we have been asking Allah to give us only halal rizqi, rizqan tayyiba, good rizqi. We have seen in a lot of messages going around sometime online informing us about halal, haram, and so on, that we get very confused today. They just inform us the latest video that we got from friends. Be careful of meat from India, especially. They say because they show us the video how they slaughter the sheep, the goat. These are not slaughtered by Muslims, slaughtered by not yet Muslim. They just get the whole goat into somebody is waiting, and then they lock the neck, and then they just cut one chop, zoom, the head is cut off. It's in the video. So I think video cannot be wrong. It's just writing, we do not know what is going on. So they say this is not halal. The way they are cutting the animal is not halal. No, they just put the neck into the one machine and then they just chop it. One chop. Just one color. The head is in another side, the body is in another side. So we just have to be more careful. If you can eat the meat that you are sure is halal, alhamdulillah. But thing that you are not sure, and you got the info now, so you just try to minimize it, stay away. Gray area is something that we don't like to play around. We Muslims have been guided by Islam. Anything gray, stay away. That's why you cannot be suspicious, bad feeling towards people. You just said, I don't know whether it's halal or haram, then stay away. Neither you make any judgment. No, you don't go and tell people this one, because we don't have any hard evidence, but the only video that we have is that, and that's how thing is happening today. Yeah. Only Allah knows what is happening to the world today because of the technology, and what we are eating, only Allah knows. Yeah. We just pray, may Allah give us the right food, inshallah. Yeah. We hope that no plastic vegetable, even vegetable they got plastic one today. Yeah. No. It really make us think. Yeah. But never mind, try your best. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, also we say to Allah Rabbul Alameen, when we want to do any activities, we want to be active in amal, make sure that the amal is something that will be accepted by Allah, so we don't waste our time. Whatever amal that we want to do, make sure the amal please Allah. If not, we are doing the wrong thing. We thought that it's good, but we are wasting our time and wasting our energy. Yeah? Just be more careful, inshallah. Now let us come back to the book, Signs of Good and Evil End, chapter 4. I think we are talking about the chapter 4. Sister Noraini, Rohani? The Bid'ah, which one? Sorry. Oh, yeah. We are going to the page 64, Is it page 64? Page what you are referring to? Oh. Question. No, question answered is just you can read by yourself, inshallah. What is allowed, and what is not allowed. If you go back, let us go back, a quick one, inshallah. On page 63, Page 63. Now, the last thing that we have shared with all of you about what our great Imam, Imam Shafi'i, rahimallahu, said, I dislike condolence gathering, even if the people did not raise their voice while with crying. That surely renew the distress, burden the people with unnecessary expenses and conflict with the report of Jaril. That meant Islam is here not to burden anybody, but to ease people who have been tested by Allah with the death of the family member. So people need time to reflect. People need time to collect a lot of good memories, and people need time to discuss about what is going to happen, what's next for them to do for the deceased if they have money. It's just like example, we got a call from somebody overseas, said that sometime the husband do send some donation to us for the poor, for the needy, for us to help those who are in need. Suddenly the husband passed away. So when the husband passed away, it so happened they don't have the information about which account do he use to send the money. So they asked us for help. So we went to the bank and asked the bank, can we get this? The bank also don't have any information. They just receive certain amounts to so and so, that's all. They don't have their details. That one must be from the sender, not from us. When the sender passed away. This is just an example. There's a lot of stress. They have to check because there's got fara'id matters to handle. So there's a lot of things for the family of the deceased to look into. The more you have, of course, the more you have to prepare. Yeah? But those who don't have anything, nothing to bother. So this is something that Islam always wants the family to spend more time to look into that area. But before they talk about the property, about the distribution, the first thing they must do, pay the debt and fulfill the wasiat. Wasiat and the debt must be done before you talk about distribution. Now let us go back to the question and answer summaries. Question, what acts are required from an afflicted Muslim patient? Of course, ihtisab and istirja. Istirja to say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and keep on asking, may Allah forgive the soul of so and so. Ihtisab is more on trying to recall, reflect. Yeah? It's like muhasaba. It's a reminder. Somebody died in our family. Is a reminder that sooner or later we are going to be like that. If they are not prepared, we should be more prepared. And that is how it goes. Yeah? Is it permissible to be sad and cry for the death of a beloved one? Sorrow and weeping are permissible, is common, but should never reach the level of dissatisfaction with Allah's decree. You cannot just go and say, why Allah, why you take his life? That is too much. Nobody have the right to ask a question Allah, why? Because Allah is the creator, the giver. We are just the receiver. If you want to take it back, he take it back. What right do you have to ask him why? Anything come from Allah, no question asked. Yeah? You just have to accept it. You remember the ayah that I always quote in my class, or most of the scholar who follow the Quran Sunnah will quote the same ayah. Ya ayyuhallazina aman taqullah haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Illa wa antum muslimun means make sure that all of us do not end our life here until we learn how to submit to Allah. And when you want to submit to Allah, Allah said udkhulu fi simi kafa. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, you must submit to me totally, full-heartedly, not quarterly, no, not half-heartedly, no, fully. Because we belong to him. He gives us everything. You don't know, you just learn. When you know what Allah wants you to believe, what Allah wants you to do, just follow. Because we are the slave of Allah, ibad Allah. Do slaves have choice? Slaves have no choice. But Allah gives us a lot of choices. We are his slave, but he gives us the choice to follow or not to follow. You want a good ending, you follow. You don't want the good ending, you choose. You see how Allah created us, give us the freedom to the extent that he is not going to force you. But he remind you, if you follow, this is the good ending. If you decide not to follow, you don't blame him in the day of judgment. He give you a total freedom. But the freedom of Allah is guided. There is always a limit in the freedom of Allah. So, of course, you should learn how to submit. You can have sorrow, you can weep. But you must accept the qadar. Is wailing allowed? No. Wailing is a physical display of rejection of Allah's decree. It is permissible to announce death, yes, but in a low profile manner, in order to encourage the people to attend the janazah and supplicate for the deceased. Yes. You don't have to go like in the time of Jahiliyyah, when somebody passed away, they have someone who go door to door and make announcement in the market, make announcements. So, no, that is too much. And that is too much. Today is easier. You have WhatsApp with you. Yeah. You just send one message to one group, and then the group send, and then the group. No problem. Yeah, because that is okay, because you are not disturbing others. Yeah, you are just sending a news, because you have to inform the fellow Muslim, especially Muslim, that maybe they know this is their friend, so they will make prayer for them, inshallah. What form of mourning are acceptable? Abstinence from loud display of pleasure or joy. Yeah. We must always stay away from any kind of entertainment. Yeah. Yeah. When you are mourning, you don't get involved in something happy kind of environment. Yeah, because you should not express your happiness at that time. Even you are happy, you have to control your happiness, inshallah. Now, what form of mourning are prohibited? Any display of dissatisfaction, such as wailing. Excuse me. I put on silent and it's still coming out. First time, my phone I put on silent and it still sound. Yeah, don't know why it happened in that manner. Something is wrong, maybe. What form of mourning are prohibited? Any display of dissatisfaction, such as wailing, striking the face, tearing the clothes, pulling or shaving the hair, all are forbidden. This kind of thing that is being shared to us, brothers and sisters, is because it happened in the time of the Prophet. In the Jahiliyyah, this thing is happening. And that's when the Prophet ﷺ came, when he looked at what is happening, so Allah Rabbul Alamin guide him and inform him that this is not allowed anymore. Yeah. When there is something that the Prophet warned us, it because it's happening. Yeah. It's like riba and all, because it happened, that's why Allah reminds us. What is the duration of mourning? 4 months, 10 days for a widow, no more than 3 days for other than the widows. Yeah. Only the widow. Now that is why, when you look at the law in Islam, why we don't have to go through so long? Yeah. And that only apply for who? For who? Which widows? The female widows. Yeah. A male widow? Three days. Now, you see how careful Islam is. Just to make sure that that woman's everything is clean. That's all. No complication, no confusion. Yeah. You can hide. No one knows. Yeah, but just to make sure. So now you are totally a free woman. Anybody can come into your life again. Yeah. We don't know. We don't know. Sometimes Allah Rabbul Alamin, if Allah want to give something, it can happen. You are weak. Maybe you are weak. The other party are stronger. And then the other party is, work harder, and then it happened. You remember in the time of the family of Zakaria, when he asked, when he was taking care of Maryam. And then he's an old man now, and the wife is also an old lady, khalas. And then, but he never give up, because Maryam said, Allah is the sole provider. Allah can give you from means that you cannot imagine, because Allah sent food to Virgin Mary, a very unique kind of food. No, that means winter time, Allah sent summer food. Summer time, Allah sent winter food. So it's very unique. And Allah sent directly to her. This caught Zakaria by surprise. I'm your caretaker. I do not know. Nobody should come to you. I'm the only one who can come close to you. What is happening to you? Is it nothing? It's Allah who gave it to me. And then Zakir also, if that is the case, I also have to ask Allah. Nothing is impossible. Now he asked, oh Allah, I would like to have an offspring. Then Allah said, okay. Then when Allah said, okay, now he said to Allah, how can I have offspring? I'm an old man. And my wife is an old lady, khalas. And the post, khalas. But Allah said, if I want to give, who can stop? Remember that. Who can stop you? Who can stop Allah? Nobody. But then Allah asked, and then Zakaria just have to believe also, because miracle happened to Mary. The same miracle can happen to, but he wants some signs. Give me some signs. The sign is what? Don't talk, except body language, 3 days. That's all. Well, it's not easy not to talk for 3 days, you know. Don't think that, oh, is this a small matter. It's not easy, it's difficult, you know. Anyhow, there's a reason behind that, you know? Only Allah knows best, you know. That's why Islam is so perfect. Everything, you know, has been done which Allah, the all-knower, all-wise, is permissible, is offering condolence permissible. It is recommended act of kindness and concern among the Muslim. Of course, when you meet somebody who just have some calamity or just musibah, you must give them some moral support. May Allah give you reward for your patience. You know, we will pray for the soul of your loved one. Show them that we don't forget their family members. You know? It is good. You know? What to say? Thing that remind of Allah, His decree, His reward to those who have sabr. This is what you should say. You know? What is the duration of offering condolence as long as it is needed? When you know they need, they still somebody, you know, their sadness continue for some time. So each time when you feel that they are so sad, they recall back about, when you are very close to each other, then the memory, the good memory, will last longer. Yeah? Is permissible, is it permissible to designate a place or time for receiving condolence? No, there is an innovation. You don't have to do that. Yeah? Now let us go back to the innovation. There's something that happened to all of us. Dealing with the body. Believing that the deceased soul roam about the place of death. Some people have that kind of belief. Not from us. We don't have this kind of belief. Yeah? There are people who do believe in that. So we don't want to have that kind of belief. Number two, lighting a candle all night close to the deceased. Because they are worried, if night falls, anything can happen. Yeah? Some people, very unique, lion, tigers, these all animal, wild animal. When they are alive, we are afraid of them. We cannot get close to them. We are worried they will kill us. When they are dead, oh, we are so brave. We go and touch them. We go and lie on them. You know. But human beings, just the opposite. When you are alive, you are not afraid of them. When they die, you are afraid of them. When they die, you are afraid of them. You are afraid of their ghosts. You know? And this is the sign of the difference between a believer and a non-believer. You know, for us, when a person is dead, he can't cause any harm to you anymore. He can't do anything anymore. Yeah? But to others, they say, no, his spirit is coming to harm you. No, no. His spirit is no more here. If his spirit is here, he is not going to die. His spirit is gone. Yeah? Because immediately when Allah called the angel that pulled the soul out, he's out. And then when he will be sent back the soul, when he was in his grave, he's not coming back home. He's going straight from after the angel, submit to Allah, this is the soul of Fulan bin Fulan, because it belonged to Allah. Allah said, send them back to the body in the graveyard. They'll be in the graveyard. They're inside there for the Q&A. There is a Q&A session over there. Yeah? He cannot come out anymore. He's in the kubur. From kubur, he will transfer to barzah. Barzah, then he go forward. No more coming backward. No. The thing that would disturb us is the jinn. The jinn will play with all this kind of. Because you want to believe in that soul, the spiritual thing, the jinn will play a role. And then somebody say, oh, I saw father came home, I saw mother come home, and then she's crying, looking at us. This story is our stories. No. Tying the deceased jaw to the head. Tying the deceased jaws to the head. If you do it for a good reason, it's okay. But without reason, you still want to tie. Anything that is open, then you just make it look good. That's all. Yeah. But if everything look good, you don't have to tie for no reason. Number four, putting weight on the deceased belly to prevent its swelling. Also, it's not the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ. Try tying the deceased tie together to prevent any excrement from exiting. Tying because they say maybe there's some more najis, and so no, you tie it because you do not want the leg, to be so far away. Sometimes when people fall, they die and their leg is open, wide. But normally, brother and sister, a person who die, the minute they drop dead, of course, they will release a lot of other najis. Whatever najis is close, to the exit, will come out. And that's why the first thing that you have to do before you call other people to come, quickly clean. Clean that part. And change, close sarong or anything, just to cover to make it look good. Because that is the last part. When a person die, there's no more muscle to control all these things. So whatever still close to the exit, it will release. So you just wash it nicely and then change the clothing, prepare for other people to come so that people don't feel bad. This is something that happened here. I've seen this before because I've experienced that, people that died just after I was talking to them for half an hour, and for breakfast time we went in and he went up to prepare himself. Then suddenly we heard somebody fall, and then he's gone. Sometimes death, it's not something you can plan. We were talking like normal, no sign at all. It's just now they're preparing breakfast, calling us in, and then one went out, one went to the kitchen, waiting for the other to come down. We heard somebody a drop, we ran up, he's gone. The father of our Jama'ah, father-in-law, who passed away last few days, he got cancer, he was here for some treatment. Then they left, they reached Jeddah, the next day he passed away. He passed away when he entered the toilet. We have also cases that some of the Jama'ah, they were together, husband and wife. Normal, they were together. And then the husband just have to go to the toilet. Normally, sometimes you have to go for the call of nature. And the husband, sometimes when you are so used to it, you go to the toilet and then you just lock yourself in. And then he just passed away there. And this kind of death, actually, it may cause the one who is alive, the loved one, feel very, very sad for a long time. Because it's a sudden kind of departure. We were talking with normal, no sign, suddenly it's gone. Oh God, this will stay longer into the memory of the loved one. Number six, putting a green branch in the room with the deceased body. Sometimes people will pull out, or maybe they take some leaf, they take some branches, the tree, anything. We don't do that. Reading Quran continue over the body until it is washed. It's not the sunnah of the Prophet. Putting dust in the deceased eye and saying nothing filled the son of Adam eyes except dust. You don't have this kind of thing. The only thing that the Prophet ﷺ do allow, putting dust, not putting dust, meaning when the body is going down into the grave, yeah, the kubur, so those who are still up can just get some soil and then make it like a ball. Yeah. Normally in a graveyard they will see it. And then you pass it to those who are inside the grave. They are going to make adjustment on the body, because they are going to make sure that possible the head, yeah, is facing the qibla. So they need something to support. Yeah, so that's why those who are giving it, you should say Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah, or Bismillah wa ala sunnati Rasulillah. This is what the Prophet encouraged us to do. Those who are still up, those who are near to the grave, you must try your best to give the some of the earth to the one inside the grave, and you say Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah, or wa ala sunnati Rasulillah. A lot of people is passing all these things to the one inside the grave, but a lot of people do not know what to say. Yeah, not to put on the eye, just pass it, and it's up to them to make adjustment. Yeah, to make sure the body face the qibla, inshallah. Yeah. Wait, yeah, inshallah. Placing a Quran book on the deceased chest or near him is not from the sunnah at all. Now, announcement of death, announcing the death from highest minaret, that is not allowed, but it's just to give information to the close members and people who know him, is okay. In the mosque, you can make announcement, no problem, that don't go purposely to the highest minaret and make the announcement. Yeah? Announcing the death in newspaper or by pasting a sheet of nine to the door of houses and stores is also not Islamic. Yeah? But nowadays, if you are a director of a company and so on, and you have a lot of people who are not Muslim in the company, they will do that, because that is their way. Yeah, for us, we don't have to do that. Yeah? We don't have to do that. Describing a deceased as Al-Mahram, the one who has been granted mercy, or Al-Maghfur, the forgiven, instead of asking Allah to grant him mercy and forgiveness, is wrong. You cannot say, oh, he has been forgiven by Allah. You cannot say that. No one knows, but you should ask Allah to forgive. Astaghfiru li akhikum. That's why the Prophet said, when somebody dies, say istighfar. Astaghfirullah. Allah maghfir lahu. Allah maghfir lahu. Allah maghfir laha. Just ask Allah to forgive them. You cannot, oh, he has been forgiven by Allah. You cannot say that. Yeah? You don't have the right to make that kind of judgment. Yeah? Grieving and mourning. Abstention of, yeah, is our duty to stay away from any person who witnesses the occurrence of death from doing any work for 7 full days is not according to the teaching of Islam. Staying away from eating until the deceased is buried is not from Islam. The family weeping with every lunch and dinner also is not from Islam. Yeah? Purposely you want to do that, but if while you are having lunch together, you recall some good memory, you cry, that is different. You shed tears, is different. Just purposely, you know. Before we eat, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, you don't do that. You don't eat, Bismillah, eat. You know? The living, also, the dead also don't like you to do all this kind of thing. Yeah? Mourning for a full year, during which the woman avoid using henna and wearing nice clothes or jewelry, is also, for a full year, is not allowed. That is very common among the Chinese. A Chinese will have that for 1 year, and that's why if somebody passed away that year, they cannot have Chinese New Year. Yeah, no Chinese New Year for them. Yeah? That is the Chinese way of doing things. But we are Muslim, we have our own rule to follow. Yeah? Turning carpet and rug upside down and covering mirrors and chandelier is not from Islam at all. Eh? even when the body is still in, at home, there's nothing wrong to have the mirror. Yeah, let the mirror be there. You don't have to take any clothes and cover. I think the way they cover, because we have some kind of belief, you know, that we can see his, the shadow and so on and so on. So we don't have that kind of belief. Yeah? Staying away from eating certain lavish types of food during the morning period, such as fish, grilled meat, liver and so on, is not from Islam. Yeah? Hanging the deceased picture, putting black ribbon around it, talking to it and so on, is all not Islamic. Yeah? Hiring professional wailer to encourage the people to cry by reciting poetry and other things that raise their emotion is not Islamic. Other people are doing that. Yeah? Other people are doing that. Hiring reciter or running tape recorder with Quran in recitation is not from the Prophet. Yeah? Wearing specific clothes or color like black for the morning is not from us also. Yeah? But now just something that I like to share about the color of the clothes. Yeah? If you want to go to a funeral, a not yet Muslim funeral, yeah, you know they have also certain value. You know, when you are coming to the funeral, you don't wear all the colorful kind of dress. So if you are going there, you just dress what you have also so many color kind of garment with you. Choose that color that do not create, some misunderstanding or anger into them. It's like you are showing to them that you are so happy, for the death of so and so. No. You also feel for them. You said you just dress. You don't have to dress a special garment for that. Just your own garment that who have a very plain color one. That's all. Yeah. It's not said you can't, but you just have to make sure that you do not create unrest. Yeah? To come to a funeral with all this colorful kind of dress, it attract fitna and also tension. Condolences, making it a regular counseling practice to shake the hand of the deceased family member or kiss them, is also not. We do not want to recall. We just want them to feel, Allah know best. We just have to move forward. We don't want them to become weaker and weaker. The family members forming a line near the grave for receiving condolences also is not from Islam. Gathering in a specific place, the house or rented hall, to give or receive condolences. Yeah? Limiting the day of receiving condolences to 3. Yeah, commemoration of the deceased on the 40th date and annually after his death. This is the problem that we are following a lot. Sometimes go to 3 days, 7 days, 10 days, 40 days, 100 days. It's not from the teaching of our Prophet. The deceased family making and offering food to other people on the first few days. We are not supposed to entertain people anymore. People should make it easy for us. Not we prepare food and serve our guests now. Wearing black or dark color suit for offering condolences. A special kind of dress. You know, sometimes a Chinese have a piece of, maybe the brown color, the black and the white color. We don't have to use that. Our normal dressing is sufficient. Now, various acts preventing menstruation women or those in postnatal bleeding from attending the dying person or the dead body. You don't have that kind of belief that, when the woman is not clean, you should not come close. No, you don't have that kind of belief. Yeah? The deceased closely giving alms or praying turkat on the first night. And somebody like to do that. Until today, when somebody is passed away, those who perform funeral prayer, people will start to pass money, give sadaqah. Last time the tradition do that. Now, alhamdulillah, in the city, people have stopped. Yeah, most of the time, people do that in the kampung until today. When you pray, that's why I said, when I was in the 70s, when I first became Muslim, in the late 60s, I still experienced that. When there's a funeral, when you go and pray for funeral prayer, you are sure to get some ang pao already. You know, people come and put their money. You don't have, they don't put on your hand because while you are making dua, you know, we're making dua, amin, 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 somebody will come and put some money in the pocket. That's why they always wear the dress with more pockets, you know. So it's easy. So we love to pray funeral prayer at that time. You know, we are young at that time because our prayer is so powerful. Before the ending of that, the money come in already. You know, we have reward from Allah already. So they have good intention. They want to give sadaqah on behalf of the deceased maybe. But that is the wrong place. You don't give it to those who are prayer. That's why I've seen some people, when there is a funeral, you never see him not attending. He will be there. He is just like the angel of death also. He will always be there because he knows this prayer is very powerful. Before the ending, you got some reward already. And then sometimes you create another fitna. Sometimes you're expecting that this family will give them 10 ringgit or 50 ringgit. Suddenly you got only 5 ringgit. Allahumma, 5 ringgit kedekutnya. Now you see, you create unnecessary. Now I experienced that in the early 80s, when I was in KL. So we have good friend, some businessman. And then he was worried that he would die. And nobody would really pray for his soul. So he come up with one idea. And then he sent a letter to all of us. He said, when I die, I make sure that whoever come to my funeral, who attend for my prayer, 100 ringgit, I will give them. Per person, 100 is written in a letter. So when I received this news, I go and see him and said, Dato, you have been very kind, you know. You like to help the poor. But by doing that, you are not sending a right message to the people because they may come and pray not because for you, because of your money. We want people to pray for you, not because of your money. You can give sadaqah, and there's nothing wrong. You can inform your family members to give something for the poor and the needy. But you don't have to do it to those who come and participate for the funeral prayer. That is not the right place. You corrupt the mind of these people. You know? Then he said to me, but it's okay, you know. I just want people to come. I'm just telling you. Because if the prayer is not sincere, have no value. If people come for the money, then they'll just get the money. They don't get anything from Allah. Sometimes people fear, that if they die, people don't come and pray for them. So they come up with this money thing, Giving to the poor the same types of food that the deceased like is not from us. Reciting Al-Fatiha and prompting other to recite for the deceased soul immediately after death or whenever he is mentioned is also not from the Sunnah. This also creates another issue. Some of the leaders who are not yet Muslim, when he experienced that when the Muslim passed away, member of the family or some important family members pass away, the Muslim always say this, let us recite Al-Fatiha. So now when this not yet Muslim become a leader to the community, he also feel for the community. He's representing the community. So when some of the members pass away, and he also say this to the to his people, since some of these family members passed, let us recite Al-Fatiha. He also Al-Fatiha. They thought that this is how we, as a Muslim, pray for our deceased. But he don't memorize Al-Fatiha, of course, because he was not a Muslim. But he used the word Al-Fatiha because all of us Al-Fatiha. So it's not from the Sunnah of the Prophet. You can ask Allah to forgive the soul, yes, but nothing to do with Al-Fatiha. Giving alms for the soul of the dead on the month of Rajab, Sha'ban, and Ramadan. You only want to give, do good thing at that particular month. You don't have to choose. Anytime you want to do good on behalf of the deceased, if he have lost some property and the children are not fighting for that, we use the property to do wakaf, to do all these things, is very, very good for the deceased. That's why in life, it's very important to invest to have righteous children. When you have righteous children, the children will think of you and think for you more than think for themselves when you die. There you have given them the best education, everything. You don't have to pamper them with so many things. But you have to save your own soul. If Allah have give you extra, you must prepare for your future. You do not know where the children would think on behalf of you. You don't know. So before nobody think about you, you better think for yourself and prepare for your departure. Because that departure is a one-way departure. When you go, you go. There's no time to say, I'll come back again and correct everything, then I go. No, no. When you go, you go. Even Allah have said in the Quran, you know, that when we die, we will ask Allah, oh Allah, give me another chance. Let me go back. No, because I have this plan, I have this intention, I want to do. Allah said, لكل أمة أجل فإذا جاء أجل لا يستقر ساعة ولا يستقدمون. When the ajal come, don't ever think there is a chance for you to go back. The movie is okay. Hollywood say Back to the Future. Back to the Future. No. In Islam, 1 year ago, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So may Allah help us to prepare ourselves in the best way. And anything good, brothers and sisters, like we said, even Allah said, Fastabilqul khairat. Anything you have a good plan, act upon it as soon as possible before something happened to us. Even you have good intention, you talk to your family members, that is your intention. They also have their own intention. You die, khalas. Everything depends on them. They will do what they think that please them more. So that's why they said, a person who love his wealth very much, of course all of us love our property, and you want the property to be with you forever, do you have a plan to have everything for you? Why not? If you can have everything just for you, do you want? Of course you want. Then what should you do? The Prophet will show us the way. Whatever you love to be with you, give it for the sake of Allah now before it's too late. Then Allah will keep it for you. That is yours. Because you have given it for Allah, then Allah will save it for you. But what you left behind is not yours. What you left behind is for the living. Your family members will come in already. They'll take. They'll divide and they'll take it. It's not said you can't give it to them, but think that you think that I want to do for my investment. So you must depart from what you love most before it's too late. That's why Allah in the Quran said, لَن تَنَالُوا بِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Whatever you give is not considered as something good in the eye of Allah until you love to give what you love most. What you love most, you know better. Different people love different things. Some people will love cat. No, you give away your cat. No, cat have nothing. You don't have to give away. They have no head value. The thing that value is thing that you love most. Your property, you give investment. Even like, can you wakaf your cat? No, don't wakaf your cat. Your cat know what to go, where to go after that. There are certain things you cannot just say, I want to wakaf it. Things have no value, there's no wakaf value. Now let us go through a quick one for the sign of good and evil ends. Allah, the all-wise, designated clear sign associated with a person's death, revealing of indicating his status after death. Some of these signs are clear indication of good end. Dying with any of them constitute a very glad tidings for a deceased. May Allah grant this to all of us, Ameen, of His great benevolence and mercy. There are also clear signs of evil end, dying with any of them constitute a bad omen for a disease. May Allah protect us from that, Ameen. Now this chapter, we are going to talk about this particular sign, yeah? The sign of a good ending. Now look at the table here. The following table present a list of good signs numbered from 1 to 22 based on all the evidence in the book of Hadith. Yeah? Number 1, declaring the Shahada at the time of death. Meaning, if you manage to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah before you die, there is one of the great signs. Because the Prophet did say, "Man akhir kalamahu biqauli la ilaha illallah khala jannah." Yeah? Dying with a perspiring forehead, sweat. Yeah? When a person die and there's a lot of sweat from the forehead, is a good sign. Yeah? You can check. Yeah? All this you can check when somebody pass away in front of you. Look at this sign. Yeah? Dying on the night or day of Jumu'ah. Day of Jumu'ah or the night of Jumu'ah. Yeah? The night of Jumu'ah normally is known as Friday night. Thursday night. Thursday night is the night of Jumu'ah. Then the day of Jumu'ah. Dying as Shahid on the battlefield. Dying Shahid on the battlefield. The battlefield, if you look in the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did say, yeah, in the Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Allahu Akbar. Yeah? Allah Rabbul Alameen said that this is in chapter 3, Surah 3, verses 169, Surah Ali Imran. Yeah? Surah 3, verses 169. This ayah means, think not of those who have been killed in the way of Allah, those who die in the battlefield. Yeah, Allah said, don't think that they are killed or they have died. Rather, they are alive with their Lord, been providing, and Allah have provided them with all the sustenance that they love to have. Allah is telling us, those who die fighting for the sake of Allah in the battlefield, they are not dead. Yeah. Now, the Prophet ﷺ shared with us about this ayah. He said, their souls are inside some green birds, beside lanterns suspended from the divine throne, roaming freely in paradise wherever they like. The soul of those who die in the battlefield is been transferred into a green bird. And this green bird is allowed by Allah to enter paradise. Yeah. Not until the day of judgment. The day they were killed and their soul is been taken up, and Allah will put them inside a green bird, and they are in paradise. They are roaming around. Their body is not there, of course. Yeah. Then they take shelter at those lanterns. Once their Lord look at them and said, then Allah will look at all these birds. Do you want anything else from me? Allah is talking now. Yeah. They said, what more shall we want? What more shall we want? We roam freely in paradise as we like. They have been in paradise. They can see all the delight. But physically, they cannot enjoy all the delights yet. They just can see with their eyes. Allah gives them the sight that they can see. But they cannot, yeah, I would say, enjoy the delight with until Yawm al-Qiyamah al-Kubra. Yeah. We roam freely in paradise as we like. Allah asked them the same question 3 times. Allah keep on asking, what more shall you want? What do you want more from me? What do you want more from me? What do you want more from me? If Allah will ask us, what do we ask? Yeah? What do you think you will ask? What do you think you will ask? Maybe you ask, I want to see my family member. I want my children. I want my loved one maybe to be with me. Maybe. There are so many things that we have in mind. Yeah? But look at what these people were asked. When they felt that they would not be spared from being asked, then they said, O Allah, we like you to put back our soul into our bodies so that we may be killed in your way once again. They want to go for the second battle. Send us back to our body and allow us to engage in the second coming battlefield. Again and again, as Allah saw that, and then Allah said, no, that is not the qadar. The qadar is when you are dead, you are dead. You cannot come back. It's a one-way ticket. Even you have the good intention. But why they do that? Because they know, yeah, the significance, the value of dying shaheed. Because what happened later on, Allah will grant them 70 tickets for them to give whoever they like. 70 tickets. So it's up to them. So that's why we must try to be good, close to people who are very strong, yeah, in propagating Islam, jihad. The best jihad is not to kill, it's to save life. All the Prophet was sent to call people back to Allah. And sometimes the caller, what we were informed that happened already and is still happening in a neighbor country, we were supposed to be there a few times, but Allah Qadar, we were not there. And we have people who just came and visit us. You see this, those who wrote this on the whiteboard here. Say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Tashafna bi ziyara jam'iyya Qadim. It is our pleasure that we are given the right to visit Al Qadim in Kuala Lumpur, you know, and we have seen and we have heard they were here to talk to us to discuss about our activities. Our that two of them are from the Middle East. Yeah, one who was very active in doing da'wah in Philippines, and one in other country. And two sheikh was here asking us, how do we do our da'wah, how we approach our not yet Muslim people. I was sharing with them for 2 hours. I brought them in here. Then one of the brothers said, I was there then. I was shot too. You know? And few people, du'an, whom they knew, while they are praying, somebody came and shoot them. And you heard this, that one of the scholars, Qarni, the one who wrote Don't Be Sad, also was shot. But alhamdulillah, they survived. You know? So this is the thing that happened. It can happen to any dua. Yeah. I don't know why they do that. The last time I went there, but I'm not going to the other area. I was in just Manila. Good, it was a very good event because the student managed to get all the help from the authority to show them that we are here for peace. We are here to promote harmony, so that when I was there, you can see the security. Yeah? The full area is covered, the hotel is covered. You have a lot of security. Yeah. So for a du'a, of course, we do not know when, yeah, this thing can happen? Yeah. I told this brother, I've been to this country from the 80s, from 84, 5, 6, 7, 8, almost every year. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, Allah have been kind to us. You know? But there are times, whoever died for the cause of Allah, Allah will grant them a lot of blessing. So we hope that we are close to this kind of people who are involved, so that they remember us. If they have their extra tickets, they will look for us, inshallah. This is the fourth one. There are many things that I'd like to share. I'll just go very quickly today. The fifth one, dying while away from home. Now, this death, I was discussed at the rule doing with the different kind of good sign, of good ending. Dying while away from home for fighting in Allah's way. That means you're not in the battlefield yet. You're just on the way. You are going for the call of Islam. Dying from plague, waba, cholera, epidemic, malaria, known as ta'un, dying from abdominal illness, sakit perut, dying by drowning, when there's a flood, or you are swimming, something happened, dying from a building that collapsed upon you, a woman death because of pregnancy or delivery, all a sign of good ending. Dying from burning, not because you burn yourself. Your house are caught in fire, you just want to run, you can't, and then you are burned to death. This is a good sign. Dying from pleurisy, pneumonia, any disease of the chest. Dying from TB, tuberculosis. Dying while defending one's property. Dying while defending one's family. Dying while defending one's religion. Dying during self-defense, defending your own life. People come to you. They want to do many things to you. You fight for yourself, for your freedom. They want to rape you. You defend yourself, you fight. They kill you because of that. It's a self-defense. Dying while standing as God in the way of Allah. The God means those who stand up. When you are going engaging in a war, you have to have some God who will not sleep at night to take care of those who are sleeping. Now, those who are on guard, they got a lot of reward from Allah Rabbul Alamin. So don't underestimate the God's duty. To be a God, also not fighting, you are just standing, be alert, watching, make sure that the rest can rest in peace. You get a lot of reward from Allah. Dying while doing a righteous deed. I think this is something all of us have been doing, alhamdulillah. Dying, being killed by an oppressive ruler, Muslim. Being praised after death by the righteous Muslim is a good sign. That means we do not know who is talking good about us. When he died, the one who attend the funeral always talk good about us. That's a good sign. But if the one who come talk, Allah, ma, you don't, this guy, and this guy, yaka, then you know this is not a good sign anymore. So these are the 21 signs that Allah Rabbul Alamin have shown us through the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So later on we can go more detail, but this is just the beginning for us to know whether those who pass away in front of us have a good ending or not. So now we open for Q&A. Fatafaddal. Yes. Yeah, you can make dua. Everybody prepared themselves to pray the funeral prayer. You see, some of Muslims, they don't know how to perform funeral prayer. It's very sad. You see, with the situation is different. If you go to Makkah and Medina, especially, that's why I've said, you can pick up the funeral prayer very fast, because almost every day there's a funeral prayer. And that's why I always remind all the people who are going for Umrah, Hajj, don't miss the funeral prayer. It's more rewarded by Allah than you pray the sunnah ba'diyah. Because any sunnah ba'diyah, you are praying just for yourself. This, you are praying for fellow Muslims. You get more reward, because the Prophet said, "Lahu qirat." Whoever pray, participate in the funeral prayer, Allah rewarding the reward of the Mount of Uhud. Huge reward. But you see, Shaitan play with us. Oh, sunat, your own sunat, your own sunat. After fardu, you busy with sunat ba'diyah, and you miss the janazah prayer. The more you involve in janazah prayer, we hope and pray, when we die, more people will pray for us. Because we always pray for others. But if you are too selfish, everything you, maybe one day you die, only Allah knows. So don't miss the prayer, funeral prayer, when you're in Mecca or Medina. Wait, after each fardu prayer, there will be announcement. The only announcement that they will make is only for funeral prayer. Even you don't understand. When they say something, you know that is for funeral prayer. So you just prepare yourself. Yeah? Here, even a lot of people who was there, they are present, they went to visit, but they don't participate in the prayer. Very sad. And that is the best time for us to remind them, give them the booklet, call them to prepare. It's not difficult. Fatiha, you have memorized. Salawat Ibrahim, you have memorized, because you pray every day, so you should know the first and the second takbirat. Only the third one. Then the third one, you can memorize all. You memorize one or two. The important thing is ask Allah for forgiveness. You can just say, Allahumma qfillahu warhamhu wa'afihi. Example. Just repeat. If you can memorize more, you do more. If not, at least Allahumma qfillahu warhamhu wa'afihi. I think if you have half an hour, you can memorize that. Just repeat. It's not difficult. The only thing that we are not exposed yet. Yeah? In the time of the Prophet, their time the Prophet will pray most of the time four takbirat. But once a while, he make five takbirat. Once a while, he'll make six takbirat. Once in a while, maybe he'll say seven takbirat. Eight takbirat, the maximum nine takbirat. We are not used with that. When you go more than four, maybe the ma'mum, subhanallah, what is going on in it? You know, maybe imam forgot. So we use the four, no problem. Because four is the popular one. It so happened that four is what the Prophet always do. Yeah? But there are also some that been done more than four, takbirat. Now, before my, oh, yeah, of course. No need. Yes. Yeah, then you place it somewhere facing key. The reason you do that, because people can come and pray already. Anyone who was there now, they may not be able to wait until a later hour. You know? No, it is up to them. If they have a jama'ah, they form their own jama'ah first. Or they just can pray by themselves and they excuse. Yes. It's ready already, it's been washed, it's been covered, yeah, and the kafan is done, facing the qibla, you just come and then you start your prayer. And then you excuse yourself, I'm sorry, no, I have to go. No, go, no problem. Because death is something that people don't plan for it. And you may have assignment here, you may have agreement to the meeting here and there. So you just come and everything is ready, you just pray and then you leave. Yes. That is why. Yeah, because they don't know what the Prophet ﷺ have taught us. Following the sunnah is better. I know, because I used to remind a lot of my students. It so happened that some of the members family passed away. They informed me we were there. We have, while they are washing, we are briefing the people how to perform the prayer. Now, It's just like when my brother passed away, yeah, I'm going to lead the prayer for tomorrow morning because he passed away at night. So I informed the Jama'ah that we are preparing and washing his body tonight, yeah, in the general hospital. We have made all the arrangement already. The body arrived here about 10 p.m. You see? So we have this 60-70 Jama'ah is around already. So I said to them, maybe you are here tonight, tomorrow, you won't be with us. You are not free because all of us have your own engagement. I said, no problem, you all pray first. So they form the Jama'ah and they pray. But I'm going to lead another Jama'ah next morning. A person pray once. Or every Muslim only pray once. So whoever said, this is an example, whoever come late, the Jama'ah have gone, they can still pray. As long as the deceased body is still there, they just stand there and pray by themselves. You remember the prophets, when he passed away, nobody performed Jama'ah prayer for the prophet because nobody dared to be the imam. You know, they call Ali then, they call Abu Akar then. Who are we to lead? This is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everybody will come and pray by themselves. That's why the prophet's punya mayat take 2 days. Because you cannot take the body away when the people are still coming to perform prayer. So male, female, young, old, everybody come and everybody pray by themselves. The unique for the prophet's body. Yeah. For us, of course, it's easier because majority of us don't know how to pray. You can just join in. Yeah, for all the Sahaba in the time the Prophet, everybody know how to pray. Because everybody have learned the basic thing of Islam. They know what to do. So when there is the example, but we have a problem here. No, I experienced one time when the family member called me in, I informed that the Jama'ah who is at home, you all get ready. And then because the house is not big enough, you can accommodate a lot of people. So after that, because they have a lot of other friends coming, it's too packed in the house. So they will bring this mayat to the mosque. So I will inform them, for those who can't wait until the mosque, we will pray here. And then you bring this to the mosque and let the people who is from the mosque, they will pray from there. You know what they said? They put fear into the family members. Those who are from the mosque. They say, if you pray here, don't have to bring him to the mosque anymore. Because it's not fardu kifaya anymore. Because they say, once somebody have done, you don't have to do it again. It's very weird for people to say this. And now the family members are worried. What should I do? If I'm going to conduct at home with those who are around, and then to bring this, they don't want you to send to the mosque anymore. So now they are confused. They talk to me. I say, no problem. Let us all go to the mosque. For us, we have no problem. We want to make things easy, which it can be done in that way. More people can pray. The one who can pray here, the one who can go there, wait over there and pray there. There's no problem, no issue. But we can make an issue. You know? This is what I'm saying, that because of our own ignorance, and we are so used with our way, we want only to follow our way, there is a problem. But Islam is so easy. It's just example, if you go to the mosque, after the imam have finished, the body is going to take over. How about those who arrive late? By right, you should not stop them. They will allow them to come and participate in the prayer, and then there's nobody anymore. Then you move the body. But when you go there, they have their own ruling. They have no adab. They have no adab to honor our right. It's just because of their way. There is their way. But look at the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only everybody only pray once, yes. It cannot be like, I have lead the Jama'ah first, and then some latecomers arrive. They do not know how to pray Jama'ah. They say, Ustaz, can you lead us again? Some people will do that also. They don't know. We said, no, according to the Sunnah, each one do one. If you don't have the Jama'ah, you can't, then you pray by yourself. No problem. Naam. Any other more question? Sis now. Empat takbirat. Again? Yes. No, no. When nobody there, you should bury it really. Pray by themselves. Everybody pray by themselves. You see, when the people heard the death of the Prophet, some of them don't believe yet. So everybody is coming already. Everybody is coming from near and far. Even Osama bin Zaid, who are supposed to lead the army to move forward, to encounter the Romans, he come back, on the way back. So everybody heard when the Prophet passed away, everyone is coming to the home of the Prophet Salah, and his body was just in the mosque. Oh yes. Of course. Every Muslim can participate in the prayer without any imam, as long as you know how to perform the prayer by yourself. But if you have an imam, you make it easier. Yeah. And by right, when you know somebody is going to pray, don't take the body away. Let them. More people who pray is good for the deceased and good for those who participate in the prayer. Both benefit. You get one hood of reward, and the deceased also will get more blessing from Allah. Naam. Any other question? Yes. Yeah, if you think, as long as you know how to face, if the, say, example, the body is here, you want to pray from there, no. You must, somewhere around, if the room is behind, and then you know that you are facing the body, then you pray. Pardon? Not necessary. As long as you know their direction. Yeah, that's the Qibla. So if you know it's a male, you stand around the head. If you're female, in the middle. The waistline, then the stomach, that is the place you stand for the woman. It's just that this is the body. The head is here. Then if the male one, you stand around the head area. If the female, you stand in the middle. Yeah. The head is here. Always the head is on the left. On the right. The head is on the right. Important is to face the Qibla also, yes. You remember when the king of Najash and the king of Ethiopia, Najashi, passed away in Abyssinia. When he passed away, the people do not know that he was a Muslim, so they buried him according to the Christian ways. Before he was a Christian king, and then he became a Muslim. And the news reached Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet never faced Abyssinia, no. He faced the Qibla. Because the body is been buried there, and then nobody offered prayer for him. Because no one knew that he was a Muslim. Only our Prophet was informed by the angel that he is a Muslim now. So the Prophet know that nobody performed prayer, nobody washed his body. So the Prophet called the companion, faced the Qibla, and performed Salat Janazah Al-Ghaib, without the body. And once the Prophet done, no second Jama'ah, finish. For Salatul Mayat Ghaib, only apply once. Somebody done, khalas. It's like in the time of the Prophet Abu Bakr, time of Omar, somebody passed away, once you know that somebody have performed the funeral, you cannot pray Salatul Maya Ghaib. But if the Maya is there, you can repeat. Then more people can come and pray. But for the Ghaib, only the first group. After that, the other group just make normal dua. Naam. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Oh yeah, the more people who pray, because you do not know among all the people who come, maybe some prayers are very powerful, some are not. And so the more people who participate is better. It's better. There are more blessings, of course. Yeah. Even our normal Jama'ah prayer, the more people who gather for Jama'ah prayer, it's always greater. Yeah. More blessing from Allah Rabbul Alamin. Now, so one important thing, Brandon, she says, no more question from your side. You still have one more. Okay, please. Okay, no problem. No, he died because of some sickness. No, poison gone. Poison is gone already. Allah has protected him. People do sihir, Allah protected him. Then one day he was not well, and then he was very sick. And then, so he can't lead them in the prayer anymore. So he ordered his wife Aisha to look for her father, Abu Bakr, to take lead in the Jama'ah prayer. So then the Prophet Sandrin feel better. So he came out. Then immediately Abu Bakr saw him, Abu Bakr wanted to retreat and call him to lead. He said, no. He gave isharah, you proceed. Then the Prophet felt weak again, and he went home, and he take rest. So on and off. And then Aisha used to, when the Prophet was very sick, he was with Aisha all the time. Yeah. So Aisha is the one who tried to look for some medication. Yeah, we do not know what. Then the Prophet said, don't go and do all these things. Yeah. The Prophet are aware that his time have come. Yeah. Normally Prophet, Allah will inform them. Yeah. Not us. Allah don't inform us. So they are more ready. The only time that he is just have to go through the sunnatullah, yeah, he falls sick and then he sweat a lot. So Aisha used to bring water for him, and also siwak, toothbrush. Yeah? This is something that Prophet loved. Yeah? Whatever he loved, Aisha would prepare for him. And then the one who's staying very close to him is his daughter, Fatima. Yeah, Fatima was always there to look at the father. Then the Prophet called Fatima, whisper to her, and then call her again, whisper again. And Aisha do not know what is going on. But only after the Prophet passed away, Aisha asked Fatima. Yeah. He said, I'm very close now. Meaning the angel of death have come. And it's just waiting for my permission. All the Prophet were not just die until they give the permission to the angel of death. Yeah. Like Moses, you know, when the first time the angel of death approached him, he was very upset. You know, he hit the angel. The angel have a black, blue black eye and go back to Allah and say, you see what happened to me? No. He don't want to come back, is it? Then Allah said, say to him, that I love to see Moses now. Man ahabba Allah liqa'ahu, ahabba Allah liqa'ah. If he love to see me, I am ready to see him now. Or he do not want to come home, then call Moses to grab, yeah, the ox, yeah, and see how much hair he can pull from that ox. And that is how long he will live. more. I will extend his life. So when this came to Moses, he said, Allah is waiting for me. Why must I delay? I'm ready. Angel pulled up. All the prophet, yeah, the angel is giving him the sign, just waiting now. And then he was just waiting because he wanted to say something to Fatima. And Fatima realized that the father is leaving. He only asked one thing. Make me, yeah, on the family who are the faster, yeah, to follow you. It's true, after the prophet passed away, 6 months after that, Fatima passed away. Yeah. But here he died because of some sickness, yeah. Some fever, you know. No. Not because the poison earlier, it was done earlier, but everything has been, yeah. He got better, alhamdulillah. Khalas. Yeah. So inshallah, to all the sisters, first thing I like to thanks all the sisters for what they have been doing, been supporting our activities here. And of course our main activities, like you see, sometime from day one, there are a lot of people walking in from the Myanmars and the Rohingya groups of people. And then we have also the main exercise in, on this coming 17th of June, where we invite, the list that we have gathered is about 300 plus, yeah, that is going to come. Of course, this place cannot accommodate that much of people. That's why we will break fast and then some maybe will leave before us. Then there will be two more exercises for us to do after the 17th event. We are going out. These have been done by our team now. They have going to the area to look at the poor, the needy. We have one in Kampung Orang Asli about 45 minutes from here, where majority are reverse. And there's one, the PPR, yeah, area, for the low-cost house area, that another team is there to get all their data and to follow up. This is what we always do. Last time, we always go down to KL, to Mr. India area, Pakistan Mosque. These are few areas that we always do. Kampung Baru, few areas that we go. That lately, we are, because it's hard for us to follow up over there. Here is better. We know their place. We follow up. We have their record. We are going to follow up, not only in Ramadan. We will follow up after Ramadan again to see whether there's some improvement in them, whether they are praying, whether they are learning about the deen, because we have to make sure that those who are poor, they should not disconnect themselves with Allah. There's no reason for you to say, oh, because I'm poor, so that's why I don't pray. No. That's why you have to pray harder. So we want them to become a better Muslim. Yeah? That's how we do our program. Yeah? We organize our program properly so that we have a follow-up kind of activities. Then we can help them better. Yeah? And also whatever we have received from time to time, we have Cambodia we are helping. Yeah, we are sending. And also we have sent some to Macedonia. Yeah, think that people that we are aware who need some kind of assistance, then we do extend to all these countries that we are aware of. When we do things organized, you can do more and you can follow up better. Because for us, want to do good things, you don't have time to follow up. You may not know how to follow up sometimes. So that's why we thanks all the brothers and sisters who have been supporting us. To know what is going on the 17th, you can just drop by and have a look. And then if you want to know what is going to happen after the 17th, on the 20th and 22, there will be a program for us to go to Penang too. This is something that we do almost every year. Yeah. Last time we traveled until Alostar Palace, but now we have our other members doing other things in their area, so we cover other areas. So we try to spread out in whatever we do, so that we can maximize, yeah, whatever activities that we are doing for the benefit of the Ummah. Yeah. So may Allah reward all of you for your kindness, and may Allah accept our fast, our qiyam, and for those who have been with us, alhamdulillah. For those who have never experienced qiyam, you're welcome to join us in one of the night. We have our qiyam every night from 9 p.m. We start our Isha prayer, and then we continue with the qiyam. Yeah? You can join us if you have some time, inshallah. Yeah? Until we see you again. وبالله التوفيق والأقل دعوانا والحمد لله بالعالمين سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Kita lepas tengoklah, ya, stay there sekejap, nanti tunggu sekejap. Waalaikumsalam.